It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Tom Ice is here today, president of Garfield County Search and Rescue. Raul Morales is a board member with Search and Rescue. Call to action today is looking for new members to join Garfield County Search and Rescue. What is the process for becoming a member of Search and Rescue?
Well, just showing interest, right? First of all, sending us an email. We'll put the email on the website or list it here in a little bit. Just saying, you know, hey, I want to join. The first step is coming out to one of our training meetings, which we train most Thursdays of the month.
At what time on Thursday?
So our schedule is the first Thursday of the month is our team-wide general training. So we'll cover just a broad topic, usually with the season. So coming into winter, we'll start talking about winter preparedness, winter travel, things like that. That's the first Thursday of the month, usually at our barn in Rifle, which is near the airport. 7 o'clock.
7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
The first Thursday of the month. Then the second and fourth Thursdays of the month are our technical trainings. So those are rope rescue oriented, vertical to steep terrain where we need to be roped up. We spend a lot of time practicing that. And there's a smaller group that consistently shows up to those technical trainings. And then the third Thursday is a board meeting.
Technical trainings typically run from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Right.
Second and fourth Thursdays.
Okay. So it's after work. So if somebody works a typical 8 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 6 kind of day, they should be able to make those trainings at least once a month. What kind of requirements are – well, we'll get to that later. We're talking about prospective members now. We'll get into what happens when you're actually on the team later. So you ask folks to show up to one of those trainings – and that is to meet everybody else, kind of see, get a general overall feel for what it's like?
Correct. And then once they attend one meeting, we'll provide them with an application. They fill out the application, bring it back to a future meeting, and then we get the membership process going from there.
What's the application like? What kind of questions are you asking?
It's pretty basic. Emergency contact, address, phone number,
hobbies, interests. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a background check as well, since we operate through the sheriff's office. But
mostly a driver's license, driver's check, background check.
Okay. Will you necessarily be disqualified if you got a ticket or something like that, or are you looking for more serious?
No.
Yeah. Okay. No, it wouldn't necessarily disqualify you.
Worst case scenario, if you've got a bunch of tickets, you won't be able to drive SAR team vehicles, but you're still welcome to be a member.
Okay. And by the way, the website is GarfieldCountySAR.com. SAR, of course, the insider's abbreviation for search and rescue, right? The email is GarfieldSAR@gmail.com if you just want to skip the first step there and go straight to sending an email. All abilities, does everybody that's on search and rescue go out into the field when you have a call for service?
Not necessarily. We have members of all ages, all physical abilities. I would say our biggest need, though, is those members that are going to be active. So, yes, there's a physical component to it. You know, a lot of times we're not just sticking to a trail. A lot of times we're bushwhacking through, you know, thick brush.
So, again, anybody that's interested, do you have any age requirements or anything like that?
18 years old.
Okay. So you've got to be at least 18. GarfieldCountySAR.com, GarfieldSAR@gmail.com. Again, the process is obviously you need to contact first. Don't just show up to a meeting. But show up to one of those meetings after you make the have the initial conversation. Then if things go well at that first meeting, you'll fill out the application, return it to a future meeting. What happens after that?
Well, we have a kind of internal intensive 3-month training program that we've been doing since I've been on the team every other year, but just depends on how many new members there are. That's in the spring. So when that comes around, you'll go through our, you know, like I said, intensive training to cover all the aspects of the type of work that we do.
And so everyone takes that training every couple of years?
Okay. Everyone on our team has or is going to go through that training, just depending on the scheduling. So,
and what is that 3 months like? How often do you get together? What types of training do you do?
So it covers everything from, you know, ATV travel, UTV travel, snowmobile travel, just basic equipment preparedness. We have what we call a 24-hour pack. So everything that you would need personally to stay out, you know, in the wilderness for 24 hours, you know, your standard way to make a fire, water, fuel, proper clothing, things like that. Just kind of the way we operate as a team. We follow the ICS, the Incident Command System. It's a FEMA program, so just get familiar with that. Legal aspects.
All those trainings are online.
A lot of them.
The FEMA trainings, yes. Yeah.
Navigation, things like that is what we cover in the classroom. And then the schedule with that is between the SAR-Tech is what we call it. SAR Technician 1 is what two. The course is, or 2 is what the course is. We just shorten it. We call it SAR Tech. Between that and our standard team trainings, you could look at being committed to Tuesdays and Thursday nights for, what was it? What were the dates?
It's between
March 26th,
2020, our SAR Tech program starts, and it's going to run through June 6th, basically every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 6 or 7 to 9 p.m., and we'll have 6 Saturday field trainings during that time period.
Now, is that all internal, or are folks getting college credit through CMC for this? Because occasionally I'll see, you know, they'll do outdoor programs and that kind of thing as well.
It's our internal training, but we follow, a nationally recognized kind of system for
National Search and Rescue.
Yeah, board. NSAR. So there's a standard that we train to, but it's an internal certification for us to make sure that, okay, this person is, you know, we're not going to put them in danger and they're not going to put us in danger by heading out, you know, to the unknown.
And again, a lot of internal protocols as well, like how to deal with equipment, put equipment away.
Sure.
And of course, I'm also hearing how not to get lost yourself while you're looking for someone else.
Right.
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 Of course, I suspect you never go out alone, I would imagine.
We don't.
But still, you have to trust the person you're with, much like any other public safety agency, right?
Sure.
And that's a big part of this 3 month is getting to know everybody, getting to know their capabilities, and them getting to know us and our capabilities.
Again, if you'd like to become a member of Garfield County Search and Rescue, the first step is just an initial contact. Go to garfieldcountysar.com, that's S-A-R, or email garfieldsar@gmail.com. Again, initially, the only requirement is you got to be over 18 years of age. Are there any... I hate to talk about negatives, but are there any disqualifying factors that we could get out of the way right now? Don't even bother with applying and going through the process.
That's we don't want to exclude anybody.
Okay, fair enough.
But at the same time, you know, we're all volunteers, and we want members that are going to be committed, you know, and able. So if a lot of the times, you know, the call comes in at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and it means you're going to head out and may not be back, you know, until the late hours of the morning or the next day or what have you. If you have a job where that's not acceptable, you know, that might not be a good fit.
So if you have to be up at 5 o'clock the next morning, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, so we just ask people to consider their personal situation and see, you know, do I really have the time to commit? Like, am I the kind of person that's going to get up at 2 a.m. and see that, you know, we need people to show up at 6 a.m. to head out into the backcountry. Yeah. Can I balance my life to do that?
And having said that, not every member of Search and Rescue is required to respond to every call for service, right?
Right.
Do you have guidelines for, okay?
So once you're a member in good standing, you've gone through the SAR-Tech program, and we've got a pretty lengthy checklist of things you need to get accomplished before you're voted in as a full member. After that, we require 4 missions per year, 4 trainings per year, and 8 hours of administrative help per year. So it's pretty easy minimum requirements to meet overall.
I'm writing this down. Sorry, I'm being slow. So four missions a year, 4 trainings a year, and 8 hours of administrative help, filling out paperwork and that kind
cleaning
of thing.
Cleaning up equipment, things of that nature.
Okay, fair enough.
Or we do, you know, we do like community service events, community outreach events, things like that are kind of the admin hours.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Again, the website is garfieldcountysar.com. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Tom Ice and Raul Morales from Garfield County Search and Rescue. Tom, when's the last time you were in a cave?
Oh, wow. It's been a little while since I've gone caving. It's probably been a couple, 3 years.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's surprising. I remember one of the last times we talked was when the, was it the Colorado Speleological Society convention was in Glenwood?
Yes.
We're talking about Groning and, you know, all the caves in the area. I want to say the
White Nose Syndrome.
Thank you. Was really prevalent at that time.
Yeah, and that slowed us down quite a bit. So stayed out of caves for a while. Then you just get out of the habit of going and find other things to do.
So just like anything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. When's the last time you were in eastern Utah in a slot canyon or something like that?
That happens pretty regularly. Yeah, that's another nice thing about search and rescue is we as members get together outside of search and rescue and do quite a bit of recreating together.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that. If it came up, I didn't remember that. So, Raul, I don't know why.
It's a tough one. Is it Paul? Is it Saul? Raul.
Or maybe I'm just ignorant. one of the three, as my grandpa used to say. What are some of the cool trips that you've gone on outside search and rescue missions over the years?
Gosh, I mean, it seems like there's just endless. I mean, there's just where we live, we're just pretty fortunate in terms of, you know, recreation opportunities. But
lots of biking together.
Yeah.
Canyoneering.
Yeah, Tom and I did a bike pack a month. In 2018. So we loaded up our bikes with our camping gear. Yeah, I don't know, we just get along well. But yeah, there's a lot of good people on the team and all like-minded people, you know, who like to get out and bike and hike and raft and, you know, ski and all that stuff. So it's a good group of people to get involved with for sure.
It's interesting. A lot of people ask me sometimes, you know, when you go home, do you still like to listen to the radio or music or whatever? And of course, the answer is yes. I mean, it is what I love doing. But I can see the same thing being true for you guys. I know you're volunteers, but still, if you're going to be part of an organization like Search and Rescue, you know, obviously you're dedicated to doing what you do, and yet it is a love. And so you're still out there on off weekends and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely very, very enjoyable to get out and, you know, a lot of times on missions, I'll go out to new places and I'll just be like, wow, this is beautiful back here. The circumstances aren't, you know, ideal, right? With somebody injured or lost or something, but fortunate to be in the area that we're in. There's just a lot of beautiful country out there.
Yeah, let's come back when it's a little less stressful.
Right.
You know?
So. Well, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. I imagine you probably discovered a lot of places that way.
Sure.
Hey, this is a pretty place. Let's come back, like you say, when under better circumstances, that kind of thing. You also get the opportunity with Search and Rescue to interface with a lot of other public safety organizations. You know, Classic Air, of course, which those of us that go to Lake Powell have been at least from the periphery familiar with for years because, you know, they're originally based at the Page Airport. Hmm. Of course, now based at Valley View Hospital. I'm sure that you get to work with them from time to time. I know they help out a lot with search and rescue missions.
They're a really good partner for us. Being here locally, they'll donate flight time per incident to help search. And if, like Tom said earlier, if it's a medical transport, that's the only time they'll, you know, submit to be reimbursed, usually through the person's insurance, you know. But they're definitely, you know, want to help. You know, that's, it's part of their mission is search and rescue as well. That's how they got their start. They've been a great partner for us. We've had a couple of fun, you know, quote unquote fun, exciting missions with them where they've been able to either transport us into the field to get to somebody or transport us out of the field. You know, if the way in was a little too rough to get back out with an injured person, they're a really good partner for us for sure.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time donating hours to help us search. Obviously, they can search huge areas in a fraction of the time that we could.
So. Yeah, we've done a couple career fairs at the high school, you know, the Glen X that they do twice a year. We run into them frequently. And everybody that I've seen is just really engaging, you know, really interesting to talk to. Of course, when you're talking about searching for people and aircraft, a subject that comes up a lot over the last few years is, I guess, the FAA term would be UAS. Do you use drones? Have you talked about using drones in your searches?
We currently do not use drones. We've talked about it quite a bit, trying to figure out how big an asset it would really be. We've got Mesa County uses drones,
I think. And they have for before it was in vogue, too. They've like 10 plus years, I think they have. Yeah.
Aspen has had some really good success with drones. So we're still considering it, but it's a big expense.
Particularly if you're going to buy the really big professional ones that are intended for use in public safety that have the infrared cameras and all the bells and whistles, you might say. And sometimes just the old-fashioned method is still the best, too, I would think you'd probably agree on that one. Again, anybody that's interested in joining Garfield County Search and Rescue, go to garfieldsar.com. There's some information there. You can always email garfieldsar@gmail.com as well. Again, the process is kind of it's actually very similar to a service club. You go to a meeting, you meet everybody.
Sure.
You know, although it's actually a training for you guys. It's not just a social occasion, but
it
I'm
can
sure
be sometimes
the lines are blurred. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. If everything works out in that first training and you think, hey, you know, this is really something that I feel strongly about, I could get involved in. You fill out the application, go through the background check through the sheriff's office. And then from there, you at some point take that 3-month training, which you already have the dates for next spring. Again, it's pretty intensive. It's a couple nights a week plus several Saturdays over the 3-month period. You'll learn about all the equipment and the processes, the chain of command, and the incident command system that FEMA has set up for and the National Search and Rescue Guidelines. A lot of people may think, you know what, each county is a little bit different. Why do we have to learn these national guidelines? You actually interface with not just Classic Air, but other search and rescue teams all over the state from time to time.
Right.
And that kind of levels the playing field for everybody so that if you use the same terminology and you have the same processes, then everybody knows what you're talking about and you don't have to stop and explain yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't say frequently, but probably every couple of years, maybe
couple
more
of
often.
Times a year,
a couple times a year sometimes, you know, with these big multi-day searches. You know, these other teams are largely volunteer based as well. So they get into, you know, their second, third operational period. They request other teams to help for mutual aid. And we'll go up and help, you know, search with, you know, with Aspen Mountain Rescue, with Vail Mountain Rescue Group, Eagle County, in the Front Range too. We've been called to help with searches. So yeah, definitely, you know, it's a standard nationally that's recognized that we can plug in with other teams somewhat seamlessly.
When you get the call, say for a big search in the Denver area or maybe Summit County, that kind of thing. Is it is that the kind of thing that Garfield County Search and Rescue members look forward to, or is it, oh boy, we have to help, but this is going to be tough?
It kind of depends on when it's happening.
Okay.
I think CSRB, which is Colorado Search and Rescue Bureau, if other teams need help on ongoing searches, a lot of times they'll try to get you in there on weekends when people are more available, because I think everybody on our team works, is employed, so things are easier to make happen on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays.
Are all of the other, I suppose it would be different from county to county, are there paid search and rescue teams in Colorado?
No.
Or everybody is volunteer?
I believe they are 100% volunteer.
I did not know that.
I think maybe they're bored or something. There might be some paid positions, but
like an administrative kind of position.
Some of those larger teams, perhaps, but our team is definitely 100% volunteer based. Nobody, you know, from Tom here, the president, the board, we're all just donate our time just because we enjoy to help.
So there is no huge president's pension for
not that I know of. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe that's why he won't step down.
Is that imminent, Tom? Have you decided that you don't want to be the president anymore? Or is it one of those things where if somebody else decides to step up and take over those duties, then have that conversation at that time?
I feel like if the right person were to step up and say, I'd like to take this over, because I think we need to keep it fresh.
I remember we had that conversation in the past.
I'd be absolutely willing to step down if the right person wanted to step up.
You never know. Maybe that could
maybe
be
Raul.
Oh, boy. It's a setup.
Again, if you'd like to learn more about Garfield County Search and Rescue, it's garfieldcountysar.com, garfieldsar@gmail.com. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Tom Ice, the president of Garfield County Search and Rescue, and Raul Morales, who is a board member. Looking for new members of Garfield County Search and Rescue. Again, if you make it through the process, members are required to respond to 4 missions a year, attend 4 trainings a year. That's in addition to that 3-month-long mm-hmm. intense training, by the way, that kind of gets you going. And then you're also required to put in 8 hours of administrative work that could be washing equipment, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The 2000s were a great time for search and rescue with the oil and gas development. I know you had a lot of equipment that was donated and purchased by oil and gas exploration companies. Of course, with the cost of natural gas still pretty low, that exploration has kind of slowed down quite a bit. So you're still looking for commercial partners or just private donations from folks to help maintain and purchase new equipment?
We are. We accept personal donations. We rely on corporate donations to buy larger ticket items, ATVs, boats, things of that nature. But you're right, it has dried up a bit over the past 7-8 years.
And if anybody has any ideas, they'd like to help you out, end of the year giving, they just use the same email address and check out the same website?
Yes.
Okay. So back to volunteers. Again, that's the big push today. Always, like any nonprofit organization where you're relying on volunteers to do the heavy lifting, as the case may be, you're always looking to get new people involved. And again, go to garfieldcountysar.com. You can kind of get a general impression, then get a hold of is it usually you that answers the emails, Tom?
Typically, yes.
I had a feeling. just email garfieldsar@gmail.com. Attend a training. Kind of get to know generally the folks that show up there, probably mostly board members, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, we have a good turnout to our general monthly team trainings. Good, I don't know, 20-some people.
That's say about 20 half. To 30 people.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
That's not
bad at all.
That's really pretty darn good, actually. And it shows the dedication, I think, that folks are willing to put in.
Yeah, and we've asked members to, just reevaluate themselves. You know, it's like we're not looking for bare minimums out of anybody. You know, we want to see commitment.
Sure.
So that's helped kind of, people get off the fence, per se. New members coming in too, like, will come in for a couple meetings, realize, oh, this really isn't for me, and then they'll get on with their lives, and that's totally fine.
Sure.
So,
and again, not everybody shows up to every mission.
Right.
Not even Tom.
No.
No. He's close.
Again, you once you make it past that first training, you fill out the application, go through the background check process, and then kind of continue on from there. Probably attend those monthly trainings, and mm-hmm. then you won't be out in the field until you have taken that three-month intense training, I would assume.
You could get out in the field to some extent, depending on the situation. Okay. We have a checklist of items to complete so you're fieldable. And you could get through those before going through the SARTEC program. A big part of it is the FEMA training, first aid CPR. That's just basic, medical training.
Sure.
Having your 24-hour pack is one of the main things as well. And then also just getting to know you personally. The members on the board who kind of orchestrate the team through the missions just want to get to know you and know your capabilities, know your decision-making process, before we start sending you out. And obviously you won't go out by yourself on your first mission. They'll definitely be kind of eased into it, or you won't go out by yourself regardless. We always go out at least in pairs, if not more. Just because you haven't gone through that training doesn't mean you can't get involved and go to trainings and help with missions. Equipment has to be washed, equipment has to be put away, things like that. So there's definitely things to do. We don't want somebody to show up to a meeting, next week, and then we don't see him again until March. That doesn't help anybody. And what's unfortunate, what happens is people go through that training for 3 months. They've dedicated a big chunk of time. And then a few months down the line, we haven't seen them. And then they're just like, I realized it wasn't for me. Or, I just don't have the time I can't make the missions. It's like, had you shown up, had you kind of gotten a better feel before our SARTEC program, you could have realized that before.
And that's why you encourage everybody to show up to the monthly trainings and the other meetings from time to time as well.
And reach out if there's a mission. Say, hey, I'm a new member. This is what I can do. And, we'll try to get you involved so you can get a feel for what it is, what we do, our purpose, right?
In search and rescue, you use a lot of dogs for tracking and that kind of thing to help you find particularly people that are lost, which, again, it is search and rescue, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if folks are interested in getting involved, becoming a dog handler, that obviously could be another 30-minute conversation right there.
Right.
But you do have members that have search dogs.
We do. We've got a very committed dog team. They spend a lot of time out training with their dogs. They'll be out four to a dozen times a month training with their dogs. We've got air scent, we've got trailing dogs, we've got HRD dogs.
HRD?
Human remain.
Oh, okay.
Very committed dog team. And if you're interested in that, get a hold of us and we can put you in contact with the dog team and they can work with you on their process.
And again, it's that process in addition to the overall search and rescue process.
Right, yeah, they're an aspect of, one portion of our capabilities as a team.
Mm-hmm. Again, the website is GarfieldCountySAR.com. You can email Tom at GarfieldSAR@gmail.com. Let me ask you this, guys. Has being a member of Search and Rescue changed the way that you hike, bike, camp, so on and so forth?
Yes.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean,
much more cautious. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing when I came to the valley was took the river very lightly after being out there so many times on SAR calls.
So
I have much more respect for the river than I once did. And along with everything else, the river, the trails, skiing, biking, I look at it all differently.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I would echo the same sentiment. And even just, in the winter, right? You could be just driving to work or just recently our little rock slide there in South Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's a whole nother hour segment. My wife was actually in it with our baby. But, things like that, you could be stranded on your way home from work. So definitely being involved with search and rescue definitely opens your eyes to all the hazards and everything out there.
And sure. Thinking about preparedness for anything.
Right, always Definitely. Being prepared.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How embarrassing would that be if you were on search and rescue and you had to have, Wayne County Search and Rescue in Utah come collect you.
Well,
I imagine you'd never hear the end of it.
And it's, you know, through no fault of their own, last winter one of our newer members got into a little bit of trouble out in the backcountry in the Vail area, and he's a very accomplished, you know, backcountry snowboarder. He was on a search and rescue in Alaska or something.
Oh, wow.
But he had a background with Forest Service, but very prepared guy. And his split board just didn't work. His binding acted up or something. He got separated. Wow. Long story short, just the process of him, you know, picking his way through. He actually had the foresight to put his initials in the snow, so people searching for him came up on his tracks. Sort of like saw his initials, and then followed those same tracks, got to him. He had a fire going. He would have been fine. You know, but it could happen to anybody.
Sounds almost like a Bear Grylls, you know.
Right, yeah.
Except it doesn't sound like he spent the night in the hotel in between shooting.
Right, or makeup artist the next morning.
Yes, right, yeah. Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, anybody can get in trouble for sure.
That's a very fair point. And, again, a lot of it is, forgive me, but a lot of it is luck.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know, just
accidents
bad luck
happen.
Or good luck, yeah.
Right, absolutely. Things that you don't foresee happening, like you're just going to go to town and run right back home and
rock slide.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then we could also do 30 minutes on how to tell if the road you're driving down is passable with your type of vehicle.
But right. Mm-hmm.
That's a story for another time, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Again, if you'd like to learn more about becoming a member of Garfield County Search and Rescue, just go to the website garfieldcountysar.com or email garfieldsar@gmail. Anything else, guys?
I think we've covered.
Yeah, definitely. You know, people are interested. Go through the steps we mentioned and just really think about, you know, is this something that I could fit into my life? You know, because it's not, it's, you don't get the call when it's convenient. Right. That's always right. You're winding down, about to go to bed, or middle of the night, you're dead asleep. So just think about that before you go through the process of the trainings and all that.
But obviously very rewarding.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. That's why we do it.
And while there are a number of different areas that you can use help, you're definitely looking for volunteers that are capable and willing to go out into the field. I clearly heard that earlier in the conversation.
Yeah, I'd say that's our mission, right? To go out and find people, and it's not always it's not always a convenient time or weather or anything like that. So,
fair enough.
That's our biggest need, I think.
Again, GarfieldCountySAR.com or email GarfieldSAR@gmail.com. Talk to you guys soon.
Yep.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.